With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Well, it's no secret. We do a lot of golf on this station, particularly in this 9 to 12 segment. Reason why? Well, I love golf myself personally, so I'm a little bit biased in that regard, but we're damn good at it. And it's such a sport, popular sport throughout the country, throughout our listeners as well. And in the past, we have talked about speed golf. We're going to do that again now because we have an absolute champion on board. The numbers of golfers around this country and on the world stage probably have never been higher. Much like rugby has its sevens, cricket has got its T20, golf has speed golf, and the National Speed Golf Open was recently held at the Fitzroy Golf Course in the Taranaki, and the winner was local lad Jamie Reid, and not for the first time either. He's won back-to-back titles with an even par 68 on back-to-back days. The world title holder achieved something even more remarkable, setting an unofficial world record for his first round of an incredible, get this folks, 31 minutes and 3 seconds and shooting a 68. Get your head around that. And to do that, we've got Jamie Reid with us to help us get our head around it, because I frankly can't do it. Jamie, good morning to you and congratulations. What an achievement.
Good morning, thank you.
Right, let's talk about the scoring here. How does the scoring result? Because 68 equates to, and the figure breaking 100 also comes into this. Tell us, for the non-initiated, me, tell us how this works.
Yeah, so the scoring in speed golf is just your time plus your golf shot. So, yeah, obviously I had 31 minutes there and shot 68 for a 99. We play, it's the same rules as normal golf. You're just running around and you're only actually allowed a maximum of 7 clubs. I normally just take 3 clubs. So yeah, it's just golf, but we're just running around in between shots really.
So the previous mark, as you say, this is unofficial at this stage. Why is it unofficial, first of all?
It's just the distance of the course. It's a little bit shorter. It has to be a par 70, and we played on a par 68, so it's a little bit shorter than what it, I guess, normally would be in terms of a traditional golf course. Well, I mean, it is a traditional golf course, but yeah, there's sort of three things. It has to be a par 70. It has to be over 6,000 yards on the scorecard. And then it has to have a total running distance of 6.4 kilometres, I think it is. So it was all just a little bit shy there, but not too much difference. Like the current world record, I think, is 106. So I was definitely on track if the course was long enough to break that quite easily.
So that equates to like a par 72 and or a par 70 and a 37, 38 minute round, yeah?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
Right. Okay. Like they say, that's cleared a lot of things up for me. First obvious question is why can Fitzroy play any longer than that, or why don't you play a national championship on a course where you could have an official world record mark?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why they have it at Fitzroy is because, I mean, that's sort of like the speed golf hub here in New Zealand at the moment, so it does increase the participation numbers quite a bit. And so it's been at Fitzroy for 3 years now. I think next year they're going to go back up to Auckland, so no doubt they'll put it on a golf course that sort of floats around 6,000 yards on the scorecard, so that I can have a crack at breaking the official world record. Maybe try and break under 100 on a course like that there, which some people think is impossible, but I don't think it is. It's definitely doable. Just about managing to put the golf and the run together at the same time. But like a lot of the tournaments I go and play overseas, they put them on quite tough golf courses, and so you never really get a chance to play on a course that's exactly 6,000 yards.
Right, okay, which is quite a distance to be perfectly fair. That's the equivalent to obviously 1,500 metre runs. So, and doing them back to back to back to back to back, which is quite remarkable in itself. Tell us about the participation numbers. Is it a growing sport? I mean, it's clearly it's an athlete sport as opposed to a passive golfer sport. So, what are your numbers like?
Yeah, it is growing. It's 2 years in a row now that we've had over 50 players at the national event. And especially in New Plymouth here. We run speed golf every Wednesday night at Fitchway Golf Club there, and lately we've been having sort of 20 people show up each Wednesday night, which is bigger numbers than what we've ever had. So it's definitely growing. Sort of before COVID hit, it was really taking off around the world, and then obviously that put a stop to everything, and so we sort of had to start from square one again, and we just sort of feel like we're getting back to that stage now where the numbers are growing, especially around the world as well. But I think New Zealand's probably doing the best in terms of numbers around the world. I think it's just golf courses are a bit more accessible here in New Zealand than it is overseas, and so it's easy for someone to rock up in the morning or towards the end of the day and just go and run around golf courses. Obviously, you can't just go out in the middle of the day when there's 30 groups out there, otherwise you'll be playing slow golf anyway.
Okay, so slow golf, as such, some people might call it traditional golf, but I like the way you call it slow golf. Tell me, Jamie, about your golfing ability. Prior to starting this, I mean, were you a slow golfer as such? Are you a club member now with an official handicap as such?
Yeah, I'm, 32 now. I've played golf since I was 12. So sort of through high school and university, I've played top amateur stuff in New Zealand. I think my plus three handicap was the best thing I got to, so I'm currently on a zero.
Oops, I've lost Jamie. Brian? Yeah, sorry, you're back now. Thank you.
Yeah, so like I played top golf around New Zealand when I was at high school and university, and I think I got down to a plus three was the lowest handicap I got to, and apparently the playoffs are zero. So, you know, people would say that I can play some golf.
I can certainly say you can play some golf. Right. Okay. So now I need to know build up for an event like this. Running as opposed to skill set with and working your time out there. How do you manage your time going into a national or a world championship?
Yeah, in terms of the running side of things, in terms of training, like I run 6 days a week, I just take Mondays off. But yeah, when you're out playing speed golf, you need to be able to find the balance between being able to run fast but then being able to play quality golf at the same time. So I wouldn't go out and run as fast as I could do a 10K in, because then I'd be too fatigued and my golf would go out the window. With the speed golf scoring of your time plus your shots, you obviously want to make sure you put a good golf score on the board first of all, because if you can't break 80, then you won't have a chance to win a national title or a world championship. So yeah, for me, I sort of feel like I'm running, I don't know, 85-90% of what I would in a 10K race, and that still gives me plenty of energy levels to be able to play some quality golf. But, and then, I mean, it comes down to how many clubs you take as well. Like, I normally take three or four depending on the golf course. A tougher golf course, I might take four. Easier, more forgiving golf course, I'll just take three. And I still feel like I can sort of shoot around par or maybe a couple under if I'm playing good. Get it done.
So, do you take a putter or do you putt with a wedge? How does that work?
I just putt. So, like in New Zealand Champs, yeah, I just took driver, 7-iron and gap wedge, and then I just hit the belly wedge with my gap wedge. Look, chipping and putting is so difficult in speed golf because you don't necessarily use the time to line it up like you would in traditional golf. So I find if I can get out there and two putt the majority of greens, then that's a win for me. And when I first started playing speed golf, I used to take a putter, but I just found that I just wasn't getting anything out of my putter. And so it was just a waste of weight carrying around the golf course. So I got rid of it and just taught myself to putt with the wedge for a year. And since then, it's actually been all right.
Okay, so here's another bit of a stickler. And slow golfers are sticklers for etiquette. What about bunker raking, pitch repairing, divot repairing, those sorts of things, which obviously would slow you down?
Yep. Yeah, so I mean, it's all in the rules in terms of making sure that as you're playing that you're raking your own bunkers and you're repairing your pitch marks. It does, in terms of pitch marks, it can vary on the greens. Like if you're playing on soft greens, you can get away with just repairing the pitch marks with your golf clubs because it flattens it out fine anyway. The firmer greens, you'll have to get, I just use a tee. But then we also have a team that comes around once the tournament's finished to go through and repair any pitch marks that were left unwanted. But yeah, same with raking bunkers. Like you're meant to get in there with your rake and rake poppy. So like I said, it's just traditional golf, but just faster.
Okay, let's look at the women's side of it. And it looks like Liz McKinnon's got a bit of a stranglehold on this. What about the numbers participating in women's speed golf? And and how they go about it as well. Do you play together with women? How do you do it? Do you just play by yourself and just go like a time trial in cycling?
Liz is awesome at Spiegel. She used to play on the ladies European tour. So her golf's obviously very good, and she's put quite a bit of time into her running as well. I think she hasn't lost a Spiegel event that she's played in, and she holds the current world record as well. But yeah, in terms of participation numbers in females for Spiegel, it is extremely low. It's a similar struggle, I guess, with the golf side of things as well. Like, the females are nowhere near to what they are with the males there. I think we only had five, maybe, females that played in the New Zealand Open, but that's consistent around the world in terms of participation for females in speed golf. I'm not sure. I mean, it's tough to find, let alone in terms of males, it's tough to find a runner that plays golf or a golfer that wants to run. And then by the time you get down to the female side of things as well, it's even harder to find that. It is tough to find them. Here in New Plymouth, when we go out and play on Wednesday nights and throughout the week, we do go out and play in threes and fours. We just run to the slowest pace of the group there to try and get those participation numbers up. And like I said, it has been working quite well. Our numbers on Wednesdays have definitely increased. But when you're playing a tournament, you just go out and play by yourself and you have a scorer with you. And so it's just like a time trial. Normally have 5-minute intervals. The fastest players go first and then goes down towards the slowest players. You're just playing by yourself and having someone that's either in a cart or running with you or on an e-bike that can score for you.
How do you control your breathing? Because, you know, if you're looking at golf and your traditional golf and you say, well, your mental state has to be good. Like, you have to be relaxed. Your breathing has to be constant. Most coaches will tell you that. How do you control your breathing as such, and how do you get it back? Is it purely about fitness? And how does that affect the mental side of it towards the end of a round?
Yeah, I mean, it is, a lot of it is fitness. You'll find out when people first play speed golf, they feel good for the first three holes, and then after the fourth hole, they're absolutely spent, and they've just gone out too hard, and their golf just turns to the pack, and they almost just walk in because they can't play golf anymore. Personally, for me, like I said, I'm running at sort of 85-90% of what I would if I was just doing a 10K race, and so there's still a little bit left in the tank. When I get over a golf shot, I sort of feel like I shut the body down, just take one deep breath, and then just hit the ball, and then straight away, as soon as I hit it, I'm not looking at where the ball goes. I'm just picking up my golf clubs and running, and then sort of watching the ball in the air as I'm still running. And then next thing you know, I'm sort of halfway to my ball once it's landed and stuff like that. The rest of it is what it is. But like, it's not easy. It just comes from practice, really, in terms of going out there and just seeing what works best for you. There'll be some people out there that can still play relatively good golf when their heart rate's through the roof, but then there's other people out there that can't play golf whatsoever when their heart rate's through the roof. I guess it's like playing the Masters. You're on the back nine at the Masters on Sunday. You know, your heart rate's just through the roof the whole time, so you're just trying to deal with that.
Rightio. Also of interest to me is timing equipment. Do you have a pretty handy sort of stopwatch, etc., or do you have a pacer? Or someone alongside you in a cart who is reading numbers out to you, is that permitted?
No, so you're not allowed any paces, you're not allowed any advice, so you're not allowed any caddies, anything like that, so no one can give you your yardages. Personally for me, I just have a Garmin watch and I just run through and I just sort of keep track of what my pace is per kilometre. While playing speed golf, I try and run under 5 minute Ks, which includes obviously all the stopping in the golf. And so sort of between shots, I'm running anywhere between 3 minute Ks and sort of 3:30 K pace. And I just look at that, knowing that if I can keep it around or just under 5 minute K pace while playing the golf, then I should be able to play relatively good golf at the same time.
It's damned interesting to me. And I suppose if you played Fitzroy time after time after time, you get to know the course, right? So there's no mysteries about the actual course itself, its layout, where you want to be preferably in that. But if I said to you, right, come and play at the same rate at my golf course tomorrow at Bridge Par, how hard would that be for you to adjust? How many rounds would it take perhaps before you start to reach your optimum time?
Yeah, so I would have to, like, if I go overseas and compete, I'll play at least two or three practice rounds beforehand. so I know exactly where I'm hitting the ball and exactly what yardages I've got. So before I even tee off in a tournament, I could tell you exactly what I'm hitting into each green. Obviously, because you only got, well, I've only got a 7-iron or a gap wedge in terms of approach shots, I need to make sure that I'm trying to hit it to those yardages on those holes, and so that it makes it a little bit, the golf side a little bit easier. So yeah, you know, you can't stop in the middle of the fairway and get your rangefinder out. All that prep has to be done beforehand, and thankfully I've got a pretty good memory, which does help me. Some people use their distances on their watch, but I like to have my pace on my watch just to make sure that my the running side of things is all right, because I sort of just work out what I'm hitting before I even start.
What's next for Jamie Reid then on the overseas front, perhaps World Championships? What's next lined up for you?
Yeah, so I've got the World Champs in Japan, which is not until November, so that's the big one for me. So obviously going there to defend my title from a couple of years ago, because they have the World Champs every 2 years.
Right.
I went to and played the same course in Japan in December, just seen and played in the Japan Open and managed to win that. So I've got some, I've got sort of 4 days of good prep on the course already, so definitely looking forward to it.
I can see how you could get sponsorship for footwear, because at the end of the day, it's a running race. What about club sponsorship or other aspects that you could perhaps get some income out of? Because I imagine a lot of the financial input is your own as such, and it would be the same for most speed golfers.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a very well-known sport. Last year I went to World Champs, or 2 years ago when I went to the World Champs, I went with another guy here from New Plymouth, Robin Smith, and we managed to get quite a few local sponsors, which helped to pay for travel and accommodation, which was great. But in terms of club sponsors and shoe sponsors and stuff like that, I don't have any of that. I just have to go out and get my own gear. Thankfully, with Speed Golf, you only use 4 clubs, and so that's a little bit cheaper than a 14 set. But yeah, hopefully sooner or later. You know, I might pick up some sponsors around the footwear and the golf clubs, and maybe more of a main sponsor for the travel as well, which might help me get to a few more events.
We are getting quite a few texts in, actually, while people are listening to this. And Dan has said, can I ask you about losing a golf ball and going back to the tee, etc.? What happens there around provisionals, etc.?
Yeah, so that's the only different rule there from traditional golf, is that if you hit a ball out of bounds or if you lose a ball, we do play that new local rule, is it E5 now? And so you can, if you hit it out of bounds or if you lose your ball, you can take a drop and take it back to the fairway, but instead of a 2-shot penalty, it's just a 1-shot penalty in speed golf.
Right, okay.
I don't know what that local E5 rule is.
Yeah. E5, yeah, I know, I'm across that. That's fantastic.
It's pretty much just following the last line of sight, and then you can just drop it anywhere on that, and it's just a 1-shot penalty rather than a 2-shot penalty, yeah.
Well, it's been fascinating talking to you, Jamie. Congratulations again on what you've been able to achieve, back-to-back titles, and, man, all eyes on Japan and the hope that you can perhaps defend that world title. That would be something phenomenal as well, in a very competitive field on a strange course. So, Jamie, congratulations. We'd love to catch up with you before then, and hope things go well in the meantime. Cheers.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.